Hello, everyone, and welcome to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live every other Wednesday evening on bbsradio.com, American Freedom Watch Radio. Please visit our website, listen to our podcast, and more important than anything, share the information. Learning something without sharing is like not learning. So thank you all for joining me this evening. Please visit our websites, and that would be Facebook at American Freedom Watch Radio, Agenda21Today.com, and KarenShone.com. Thank you all for joining me this evening. We are going to get right to our guest immediately because, first, I love talking to Charlotte Iserby. She is one of the most informed people on this in the country regarding education. She is my mentor. She is an incredible lady and has been reporting on what has been going on in education since she got involved during the Reagan administration. Welcome today, Charlotte. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Well, thank you, Karen, and I could return the compliments. I truly do. I think the work you're doing down there is, and I keep watching it, it gets better and better. And not only do you do that, you know, you inform people, educate them, but you ran for office yourself. I mean, you've done just about everything you could possibly do, biting the bullet. And I wish people would, you know, follow your example and understand how serious the situation is. I know it's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming, and I think
people—it's overwhelming to you and to me too. I think they think that, you know, we don't find in our daily work that it's overwhelming. It's horribly overwhelming, and many times, you know, we just wonder how we're going to make it through the next day. And people out there have got to make a conscious decision. They're going to put aside an hour a day or maybe half an hour a day to either become educated or to decide to do something on their own, activists, work with people in the community. All the research is there. You're getting it all out. You've done great work in Florida, and you deal with the rest of the country and the rest of the world. So there's no excuse, really, if you look at it in terms of don't think of it in terms of, oh, well, you know, I've got other important things to do today at home. Of course you do. But what are those things you're doing at home? You're doing things for your family, probably. Mm-hmm. And I just wish that Americans would wake up and understand that the most important thing they can do for their family is to stop this totalitarian regime that we have, not just Obama, but it's been going on, you know, ever since World War One, basically, before.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm so glad you're with me this evening, because I don't think people realize the depth of what's going on. And I can tell you that today I spent time with my legislator,
yeah,
and he doesn't even understand what's going on. And his answer is, well, if you don't like the education, then why don't they just sue? You know, sue. Who are we supposed to sue? I said, right, we're going to sue the Department of Education with their unlimited checkbook. You're going to expect
$90 billion entity that the educated, tell them that they spend, you know, the total federal, state, and level has a bigger defense, a bigger budget than the Defense Department.
I know.
We're meant to sue that entity, those entities?
Yes. Yeah.
I feel sorry for him. I don't know that I've ever heard anything quite that stupid.
Well, coming from him, it was a surprise. I have to tell you, it was definitely not a surprise.
Yeah,
but
okay.
The important thing that I really want to hit on today, aside from the fact, Charlotte, I'm really encouraged, and I'm really encouraged just by two small things that have happened, and
yeah,
that really is on the Republican candidates. If
oh,
you
yeah
take off the top two, they are not establishment candidates. No. And that says to me, I don't care who they are. It's
me
just
too,
that they're not establishment candidates.
Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse.
Yes.
Know.
It doesn't make any difference.
Right.
The fact
exactly,
that the,
but they're not establishment.
That's it. That's the whole thing. And the fact that the people are waking up and getting together and saying something is wrong and we can't go back to the same well with the tainted water and expect that it's going to be pure after 50 years of it being garbage.
Oh, yeah. No,
so
it's,
I'm very encouraged on that front.
No, I am, too. I think that, and I think that Trump is remarkable in that, again, regardless of what he says, I happen to agree with him on everything, but some people might not. But he's his own best promoter. I mean, these other guys need to have consultants and people running after him with briefcases and writing his speeches. And, you know, he doesn't need that. He just gets up there and he says it like it is, like we're doing right now tonight on the radio show, right? And
right,
and it's not prompted and scripted, and it's so obvious that he truly, I do believe that when you speak off the cuff like he does, he's probably telling the truth.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we all learn. There's only one truth, so you don't really need a teleprompter when you're talking.
Exactly.
Because the first time that I ever started going out speaking, somebody said to me, you know, Karen, you said the same thing that the guy 2 weeks ago said.
Yeah.
And I said, and isn't that amazing? How could that happen? And he said, you're not even using notes or a teleprompter.
Right.
How come you're saying what he's saying? Do you know him? And he gave me his name, and I said, no, I don't know him.
Yeah.
And he said, but he said the same thing you did. And I said, that's because there's only one truth.
Oh,
and
you know,
once you learn it, you can't unlearn it.
Well, that's right. And it comes right, it was sort of like what we were talking about earlier with, we won't get into that one, but that incredible Netanyahu statement. Well, I mean, gee whiz. Hmm? But actually, I felt, I've been very busy with stuff lately, just like we all are. And, you know, you get down and it's so overwhelming because it's not just education. It's the Trans-Pacific thing and it's everything else and the poor children having to be taught about how the homosexuals operate in first grade. And, you know, everything is just beating on us. And when I heard that news from Netanyahu, it was just a straight comment and sort of backed up. And I thought, I was just lifted up a bit. I thought, well, you know, here we've got some history that's been clarified.
That's right. And people don't realize that he was telling the truth, because if you know anything about World War II, who was Patton fighting in Africa?
You're right, the Arabs.
He was fighting the Arabs.
Down there in North Africa.
Yep. So
I felt so good about it that I thought, I wonder if this statement isn't going to maybe lift us all out of the mud a bit. Because I think it has what we're dealing with is a global dictatorship. And everybody's involved in it. They're all the leaders, right? We can go through that long list. They're all involved in it. And then all of a sudden you have a world leader who is all of a sudden told the truth about something we've all been lied to about for so long. Well, you know, maybe that's the beginning. Do you think maybe we're going to have some other leaders who are going to start telling the truth?
Well, that would be an incredible, that would be a bonus plus. And if that comes out of this election and us working real hard to be able to do that, and I agree with you, I would, frankly, I'd like to see Donald Trump get together with Ben Carson.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe they can straighten out HHS and a lot of the other things, because one of the things that I liked about Trump is that he said, I can't do this alone. I have to work with really good people. And it seems as though the people that he picks are not the same old, same old.
Well, I hope not. I a few years back, I was sort of interested in Jim Webb. And the thing is, I don't know that I would have voted for him, but I rather liked his position on several things. And I thought, you know, it's good if he's going to run as an independent, because that'll pull votes from the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump would probably get in because of it.
I would agree with you there.
You know, that, and who knows? Wouldn't it be nice if maybe the two of them discussed it? I don't know, but we certainly don't want that. Well, Charlotte, you can't really, I'm not going to use that word to describe, you know, the wife of our former president. But I'm glad Webb is in there, and I'm glad he's going independent because that could be helpful. I'm sure the Democrats aren't too happy about that. Hillary must
No,
be.
And he really was the only Democrat that, when you were watching the debate, now, to me, he was the only Democrat that I could even think of voting for
I
had to vote for a Democrat.
The
Democrats, he was off the reservation, and they couldn't even deal with what he was saying. So,
well, it's true. Have you thought of the possibility? What if Trump decided to take him as his vice president? He could pull a lot of Democratic votes.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, because I like Webb. I like him.
I liked him too. He was straightforward. He was also telling the truth, and that's the saddest part. Because whenever anybody says to me, "But Karen, what's wrong? And where is this coming from?" And you listen to these commentators on the radio, and they'll report something, and they'll say, "How did this happen? How did this happen?" When the answer to me is staring them in the face, and the answer is school. This is where all of this is coming from.
This you know, it really
hatred.
Did. Karen, I've got something here that I wanted to read tonight. It'll be a quickie. Before
you do that, Charlotte, would you tell everybody your wonderful website so that
they will be able
to find you after the show?
Yes. My website is, the major one is deliberatedumbingdown.com, the three words, deliberate, dumbing, D-U-M-B-I-N-G, down, D-O-W-N.com. And that is, it's an interesting website because it has a lot of links on it, for instance, to the Exposing Global Road to Ruin Through Education conferences that we had that Karen was involved in. There's a link there where you can click on that, and that's free, the eight discs. It was a very expensive venture, those two conferences. We had all the top researchers, education researchers, to tell the truth. You know, and I'm not talking about Heritage Foundation, all those people who don't know anything past perhaps the year 2000. Beyond that, they don't have any history. But we had the really good education researchers and teachers, public school teachers, who made presentations at those two conferences. And that website, deliberatedumbingdown.com, has my big baby, the 700-page deliberatedumbingdown.com, the original that is now out of print. It is a free download. We made it a free download so everything I've ever done has been boycotted, you know, from back to basics reform in 1985 all the way through now, you know that.
Yes.
So it's all been boycotted, so we've made it available free to the people all around the world. And so that's that website. It has my little Back to Basics is a free download there too. And that's a
wonderful book for those of you that don't understand, and I'm going to ask you, Charlotte, to describe it later.
That's what I found today. I found an old two-pager that I had, which I passed out when I first wrote it at Phyllis Schlafly's conference. And then she boycotted it. Eagle Horn boycotted it immediately. And I remember, what's her name? Beverly LaHaye, you know, Concerned Women for America, invited me. And this is 1985, folks, right after I wrote this little 39-pager, Back to Basics. She invited me to speak in New Jersey, a big conference, Beverly LaHaye. Concerned Women of America, that's nice. So I went down. I had my little Back to Basics to sell. And she came up to me. She said, "Oh, you can't sell that here."
Of course not, because you exposed the reality of education.
Exposed the whole agenda
in
1985. Yes. And if people had that little $5 book, which I had hoped every parent would have it in the country, 39 pages, if they had had it, they would have known. Because as the title, you know the title on it, Karen, because I don't expect people to even read two pages of what I write. It was just called Back to Basics Reform or Outcome-Based Education, Skinnerian International Curriculum. And then I had a little asterisk. I decided to tell everybody what it was all about on the cover. And the asterisk said, necessary for United States participation in a one-world socialist government scheduled for the early years of the 21st century.
And here we are today.
So there we are today. And it called on Ronald Reagan to get rid of the United States Department of Education. And it called on all of us to get rid of our state departments of education because they're nothing but clones of the Federal Department of Education, and they receive up to 80% of their operating budget from my old office. And your listeners, I don't know if they know, I was the senior policy advisor in Reagan's U.S. Department of Ed. So I know who got funded and not. They get up to, your Florida Department of Ed gets up to 80% of its operating budget from the U.S. Department of Ed. And
well, we just looked at some statistics today, Charlotte, and when this all started in the 80s, Florida was actually about 25th in the country. We have now spent billions upon billions upon billions, and I am horrified to say that we are 47th in the nation. So as a return on investment, the Department of Education is not where it's at.
Yep. It doesn't go for educating your children.
No,
I
would
think of Ann Herzer, you know, Ann, the great teacher that educated me, really, in the Skinner method, certainly. She once said, I love it, she said, look, and she was a public school teacher. She quit after she had to go through the Skinner outcome-based ed mastery and learning training. It was so disgusting, you know, dog training, huh? And she quit, and she said, my little back to basics, really, Ann helped me a lot with that book. And she said one day to me, you know, you live in Florida, and you live near the water. Okay, you take your six-year-old child down to the beach, take a sandwich, peanut butter and jelly, you take a stick with you, or you find one on a tree on the beach, and you teach that child to read and write and count with a stick in the sand.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
And look at all the people, your listeners there, they've been paying through their nose to destroy the children, their souls, their minds, etc., which, of course, in the long run, destroys the country.
Well, that
they've been paying for this. That's all they've been paying for.
Yeah.
Now, let me make a point here. The teachers, and the more I hang in on this one, Karen, the more I know that they have been fighting this thing tooth and nail for many, many years. Not all, but the majority. They have hated every bit of it. They've hated every bit of performance-based teacher education. They resisted it. And they're still resenting. And they get fired. I have a niece who's been teaching for 25 years in Rochester, New York, you know, where Mark Tucker comes from there. That's the National Alliance, Dear Hillary letter and all that.
Yes.
And so Rochester was the experimental place up there. Of course, there were several others, too, but that was the first. And she just, you know, 3 years ago, because they've been putting it up there, she's a wonderful teacher, a lot of inner-city kids, and she takes them all, you know, to the beach in the summer and does all sorts of things with them that their families can't do because they're working on one thing or the other. And she's a marvelous reading teacher. She's developed her own curriculum for them, and they love her to pieces. And 2 years ago, when she was up visiting with me, she got, an email from the central office saying that thank you very much for your help through the years and all, but you're not coming back.
No,
they were hiring Teach for America.
Teach for America. And that's something very important, folks. I was a teacher. I never stopped going to school while I was teaching because you have to continue your education in new things if you're going to give that to your children. What Charlotte is talking about was the 60s and 70s when we took American education, which was a fact-based program.
Right, good.
We dealt in facts and truth. We taught phonics so our children could understand the sounds of the letters and then, like puzzles, put them together and learn to read. We taught math by memorizing tables in our early years because that's when you are most in tune with learning numbers, and
right.
memorization is so important at
yep.
that time. And then all of a sudden, I went to John Dewey's New School of Social Research and discovered that we cannot have a group of students who will think freely. Oh, my goodness, they may come up with different answers. They may ask that horrible question, why?
Right.
Or could you explain? And we can't do that. We have to make sure that we can control the outcome.
Right.
And from then on, education went down.
Oh, yes. I mean, and you know, they're very they're blatant about it. I think there's a marvelous card. Well, it was Thomas Kelly. It's in my book, Effective Schools. Effective Schools, when you see that with an E, you know that's Skinner. And you know it's pigeon training and all that. But there was a quote in there from Thomas Kelly, one of the leaders, that said, the brain, believe me, I'm not kidding. We put it right up front, I think, in the deliberate dumbing down of America. The brain should not be used for storage. It should be used for processing. Well, excuse me. What?
Excuse
you know
me.
What? How can you process something if you don't have anything to process?
If you don't know what it is that you're going to process.
I mean, these people, you know, and they get paid. These are the major change agents, you know, Kelly and Spady and, you know, the whole crowd. We call them snake oil salesmen. I mean, Spady was so unpopular in the 80s and 90s, going around selling the mastery learning outcome-based ed, that we, you know, we used to call him the change agent, the educator parents wanted to hate the most. And we hated him so much that we really did go up after him. I mean, he was into the Catholic schools pushing the OBE training. He was in all over the country. A lot of people may not. I'm so old, you know, I expect people to know what I'm talking about, but that's why the little book is important, Back to Basics, but because I cover all of this in there. But, you know, the point is, what happened is we really got rid of him. You know where he went? He went to South Africa. And just recently I was talking to a very nice South African parent, and we were talking about the education system there, and she said, well, you know, something horrible has happened here. You know, she said, our children aren't learning anything, and it's all, you know, training and this and that. And I said, well, we gave you Bill Spady. He went out there and he retrained all your teachers just as he did with us in the Skinner method. And in the book, beginning of my book, it's really good what Spady says about the purpose of the training, of the education. You know, it was an interesting fact, event for me when I first went in there, the Department of Ed, and they had a brown bag lunch down in the basement cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and it was Bill Spady who was going to be speaking to all the educators. And I took my little notebook, and that's where I got those quotes from him. And he was very clear that it had nothing to do with learning. It had everything to do with changing the child's attitudes, values, and beliefs and making them conformists and controlling them. That's that quote is in the beginning of my book. And I didn't really know anything about the mastery learning, the Skinner method at that time. Of course, that's years ago, 1981? But
don't even talk about it. They just have you participate in it.
That's right.
And people don't realize that the moment your child walks in that classroom,
right.
the only information they want from that child is what will he be able to do, or he or she be able to do, to work for whatever we find them the job to do. That's it.
Oh, that's right.
They are not interested in anything else.
The Cuban, Korean, German, whatever system you want, you know, where it's the quota system. And by eighth grade, they, the corporations and public school system, have determined what your child should do for the rest of his life. And the point is, say your child wants to be, you know, say a young boy, you know, he's always wanted to be a welder. He's very talented. He's artistic. You know, he could possibly, and you know, being a welder, you could end up being a sculptor. And so he's always wanted to do that. And the parents think, gee whiz, why on earth? It was like he wants to be a fireman, huh? And so he's always wanted to be a welder. And then he gets to eighth grade, and we live in Maine, where so we have big shipbuilding. And mm-hmm. so we have Bath Iron Works would tell the school system, and is doing it now, we need eight welders. We want to have eight welders. We want to train eight welders. And your son is number nine. He's not in the quota system. So he cannot get trained unless he moves out of state or, as if you read one of the quotes in my book, out of the country.
Right.
Harold Shane referred to that, moving our children out of the country.
Well,
and
that...
this good little book, Back to Basics, I mean, hey, folks, look, it got boycotted, right? So
you have to know it's good if it got boycotted.
It was so boycotted. Phyllis Schlafly, you know, Eagle Forum was telling people that they didn't understand it and I should write it over. And that was the funny comment that Cindy Weatherly made, because she said it right to my face, too, Phyllis. And Cindy said, oh, hey, Phyllis, that's interesting. She said, I gave it to the butcher down the street in Georgia. And she said he understood it just fine. Don't you love that?
Folks, this is an incredible book that must be read by anyone.
Well, it really is. Folks, and the other website, of course, is our blog, which is mm-hmm. ABCS of Dumbdown, Dumbdown. That's all you have to type in, is ABCS of Dumbdown. And we've had that now for almost 2 years, and that has the whole history of what happened in American education through today. And what we did was we took a lot of the research from the deliberate dumbing down, which is a historical chronological record of how they did it and why they did it, and we applied it to what's going on now with the restructuring, you know, with Microsoft and your Jeb Bush and charter mm-hmm. schools and everything right. they're lying to us about, right?
Yes.
So we would take the documentation from the history and throw it up on the screen, you know, with a post that we would do showing what a bunch of liars they are. So it really is a great, great blog. I hope people will go there, especially for what's going on right now. And then the other website is my son's marvelous website, which is called AmericanDeception.com. And that website, the first thing we put up, boy, that was a hard one. That got my son really, I don't think he ever had to do anything that difficult again. But we had the 3,000-page congressional record, the transcript of the Reese Committee hearings. And I don't know if your listeners know about it. They may. But those were the hearings held in 1953-54 by the Congress in regard to the role of the tax-exempt foundations that were spending money really to just implement a communist education system. And Norman Dodd was the research director, wonderful man. He Andover, Yale, the Morgan Bank in New York. He'd done great work on why we had the Depression, and he was in banking. And they called him down to be the research director. And so we got a whole, I bought, there was one copy left, such an interesting story, of that transcript, 3,000 pages, because the tax-exempt foundations, Ford, Rockefeller, the whole crowd, had gone out after the hearings were shut down abruptly during the Eisenhower administration. Mind you, he was really bad. We'll talk about him a little later, too. Those hearings were shut down because they didn't want the American people to find out what was going on. And then, number two, once they were shut down, they had to go around to all the libraries and scoop up all the copies of the transcript. And they did. And so there was only one copy left. And I knew someone who worked with Norman Dodd. He's a good friend of mine. And he had one copy. And he had been offered any amount of money for that one copy. that 3,000 pages, any, by one of the minions of the tax-exempt foundations, they wanted that one copy. Well, he wouldn't sell it. That was a good 25 years ago. And so I knew Bob had it. And so he called me one day about 10 years ago, and he said, Charlotte, look, I know you're the one person to have this copy, and I'll sell it to you for $3,000, which is a dollar a page.
Okay.
And I said, okay, and we will put it up at American Deception. And actually, that was the beginning of AmericanDeception.com. That whole 3,000 pages is there. People are going to find out not just about education, but they're going to find out that Edward R. Murrow, the great hero to Americans, because they've never heard anything but that he was a great journalist during World War II and all, that he was a communist.
Yes. He was a communist.
Oh, yeah, and you can read the questioning of him. You can read about the American educators that went to Russia, you know, in what, I can't remember what, in the 30s, I believe, and were all involved with Stalin and Beria and all of them. You can read all about that and the questioning of them and why did they go there. And it's the whole history of communism and how it came to America. So anyway, that's at American Deception. There are all sorts of other good stuff there, but you have to go yourself, AmericanDeception.com. I would advise you just to scroll all the way down through all the documents. Your mind will be blown. I, of course, gave numerous documents that I had from the U.S. Department of Ed to my son that are there as well. I love to go there myself. And the DeliberateDumbingDown.com website, the free download of my book, it's a lot of fun. I don't use my hard copy that much because I get in there and I get into the index of that 700-page book, and I just, wow, you know, I waste a lot of time, I think. I get so involved in that because I can go directly to the page where you'll find the U.S.-Soviet education agreement.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you have an issue that you need to know some background on, which is everything, because nothing that Obama is doing is new. That's very important for everybody to understand. Everything that he is doing has been tried before. The names are changed, but the processes are all the same. His newest executive order creating, I call it the Department of Nudge, a behavioral modification department, that Charlotte and Karen will wind up in a re-education camp because they're saying we don't want our children and our grandchildren to be involved in a communist education. Well, the Department of Nudge, it's nothing new. Hitler had them. Every dictator, every communist society must shut down education, and their goal and focus is to turn everybody's head into, I will obey the government. I will comply with the government. The government is good. The government is all-powerful. And this is what our children are being tortured with today.
Every day. And psychological manipulation. Psychopolitics, and it is the Russian system. And Karen, I've got one of the original books on early childhood. It's the Russian translation, which they're putting in here right now. You know, Yuri Bronfenbrenner was the head of, he was a big guy born in Moscow, who headed up, who was the major person with Head Start. And I've got, and one of the, that's an extraordinary book that was translated from the Russian on Soviet preschool education. I have it. And
other thing that they're finding out is the preschool education, aside from the fact that we know why it's there, it doesn't help the kids. It doesn't help anybody do anything because, in reality, it's taking away that family camaraderie.
Oh, you hit it. Yes, I was going to say that. It says right in there that the preschool education manual that I have that was translated, that manual was used for K through 12. Everything in there, they make a very good point there, that the philosophy with the young children, you know, from birth, is the same. The philosophy of indoctrination is the same all the way through. So the Soviets, the Russians, and it's still going on. That's Finland. It's a whole mess. Don't think that the Finnish system is going to help you up. It's the same thing. And it's all workforce training. It's all for the state, and they say right in there, the funny one, I'll tell you, this is a good one. Bronfenbrenner said he's dead now, but that's what we're looking at. You know, Patty Murray out in Washington and Bronfenbrenner, we did a good post on that. Their little dancing, their tango, huh? Bronfenbrenner said that when he was working with Head Start, a Soviet educator came over, and I guess they were working together, and Bronfenbrenner took him to a daycare center in the United States. This was in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the little children were sitting at their desks, and they're all working independently on their projects. They're not looking over here or there. They're not joking around. They're not cheating. And they're working hard. And Bronfenbrenner, he said that the Soviet psychologists, you know, he was shaking his arms. He said, I can't believe this. He said, they're all working on their own. He said, this is a country of little individualists. Don't you love that quote?
I love that quote. And what is their goal and objective?
To replace
individualism with collectivism. Everybody has to be on the same page at the same time, doing the same thing the same way.
Exactly.
This is outcome-based education. That's what it means. That's why we have an outcome-based economy. Really, how do we know what's going to be invented tomorrow? Well, if we don't give the kids the brains, the skills, and the knowledge to be able to create, nothing gets created.
Yeah.
So they know in advance there isn't going to be anything new. When was the last time we had something that was incredibly new and hit the world in a firestorm that everybody had to have that wasn't coming from a technology-based platform?
Absolutely. I mean, I was thinking about today. Where are the inventions going to come from? There's not going to be any independent thinking. There can't be. I mean, I've got this in front of me. Karen, you've probably seen this thing. I love it. This was mid-1990s. Somehow, I used to subscribe to the Business Roundtable and stuff like that. But this came from the National Alliance of Business. And your listeners are not going to believe me. I'm reading from this. At the top it said, National Alliance of Business, Work America, the Business Force on Workforce Development. Okay. Volume 15, Issue 5, May 1998. And then it says, Knowledge Supply Chain, colon. And then it says, Managing Kindergarten dash 80, age 80.
8 months to 80.
Managing kindergarten to age 80 learning.
Well, there is your cradle to grave that was promoted incredibly by our former Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan.
Oh, yeah, but not just...
And he talked about that
right. All
the time. The kids should be in school. The days should be longer. We should be giving them breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Even boarding school.
What's happening.
And boarding school, I have an entry in my book from the 70s from Vermont. That was a pilot for boarding schools for our children. That's an interesting entry. People could go to the deliberate dumbing down and look under Vermont. And you will find that. Now, there is something here, because I'm writing Donald Trump, and I'm sending him a lot of stuff, because I think he's got to have this information. But this is really a good one. I'm going through all my stuff today. Boy, what? I mean, I can't believe it. This is from the Times Herald. I think it's New York Herald Tribune, okay? That's big time. 1959. And what I want to point out here, all of this is a result of the agreements, that Eisenhower signed with the Soviet Union. The first
that nobody knows about.
1958, in all areas, not just education. We always focus on the education ones. This is a fascinating article by a journalist who is extremely well-known. It would be like one of the top people now that we hear all the time. His name was Roscoe Drummond.
Oh, I remember.
And it says, Roscoe Drummond from Washington. I'm going to read this to your folks, because first of all, I want to say the National Governors Association has been up to its eyeballs in this agenda, not just education, but putting in communism, mm-hmm. regionalism, ever since Carnegie funded the National Governors Association in 1908. Now, let me read this. The date is August 7th, 1959. Roscoe Drummond from Washington, invitation to Soviet governors. San Juan, Puerto Rico. The 9-member executive committee of the U.S. governors, who have just reported to President Eisenhower on their own tour of Russia, are arranging to invite the prime ministers of the 16 Soviet republics to attend and take part in the 1960 Governors' Conference. This is right after Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower, who was a commie himself, right? This is right after he signed the extensive agreements in every area, art, music, health, education, science, you name it. They're still going on. Don't think because the world is...
Yes. Don't ever think for 1 minute that communism is dead, because it never died. It went underground and came up in our schools and in all of our businesses.
Oh, yeah. Let me read about the businesses. Listen to this. Okay. Just reported to Eisenhower on their own tour, are arranging to invite the prime ministers of the 16 Soviet republics to attend and take part in the 1960 Governors' Conference. It is evident that the governors strongly endorsed the imminent exchange of visits between Premier Khrushchev, who's the one who said that, you know, we're all going to be communist in 50 years. He warned us.
All right, he was.
And President Eisenhower. But they believe this burgeoning East-West exchange needs to include officials from all levels of government. The plan now is to send invitations from the American governors to Soviet governors, who are the chief executive officers of the Soviet republics, and with all of whom Governor Leroy Collins of Florida, Governor Robert Minor of New Jersey, Governor Luther Hodges of North Carolina, and their colleagues conferred at length last month. The formal action to extend these invitations will either be taken by the governors at their session here or left to the executive committee to work out. The governors are discussing this project with representatives of the State Department and the White House, as they did before they undertook their own trip this summer. In the wake of the Khrushchev-Eisenhower exchange, there is no doubt that Washington will approve. The intention is that attendance of the next governor's conference, think in terms of what's going on right now, folks, should be only a part of the hospitality to be arranged for the top officials of the Soviet republics, many of whom will be the political leaders of the Soviet Union in years to come. What the inviting governors have in mind is, visit states. A visit by the prime ministers, either as a group or separately, to as many states as possible and at least to all sections of the country. A full day's participation at the governors' conference, during which there would be a joint discussion of common problems. Listen to this, Karen. Housing, health, old age care, etc. An invitation to attend as observers both the Democratic and Republican nominating conventions, so they may see how a democracy picks its presidential candidates. Well, we're not a democracy anyway, okay? We're a republic.
We're a republic.
This plan reflects the intention of the governor's executive committee to implement their own appeal to the president that, quote, a greatly expanded program of exchange visits, particularly at the middle and local levels of government, would be highly desirable. That's regionalism now, folks, okay?
Yes.
In his address as chairman, Governor Collins of Florida told the conference that, quote, what the Soviets do and what we do toward relieving the anxieties of the Cold War, that's in parentheses, and assisting aspirations around the world will determine whether the world community successfully meets the challenges or survival. The states must be partners and co-workers in this common understanding if we are to succeed. Goodwill Reservoir. The reports which the governors made to their colleagues on what they found in Russia were realistic. While they noted the gap between the friendly sentiment of the Soviet people and the policies of the Kremlin, they were impressed by the reservoir of goodwill they found on every hand. At least they were noted the gap.
Well,
they believed that an early visit to the United States of their Soviet counterparts would carry forward whatever gains might be made as a result of the Kozlov, Nixon, and Khrushchev, Eisenhower visits this year. Now, I'm reading that because I think, if
Charlotte, I just noticed, and I don't mean to cut you, but before we end in about 5 or 6 minutes, we have to talk about the ESEA because that's where this is all headed.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. Okay, look, the ESEA, thank God for the grassroots, we did mess things up a lot. We had to go up against the neoconservatives, right?
Yes.
And we, believe it or not, we had to depend on the Stalinist Democrats for negative votes. They were helpful on that. They figured that the bill wasn't Stalinist enough. So we had them on our side. And I do believe that we caused a lot of trouble for Lamar Alexander. And I don't believe that the Representative Klein's bill that passed that, I think that was absolutely illegal. I believe we had it, and I believe that the voting machine was manipulated. But anyway, so what we've got now is, what's her name, Elizabeth Warren and a couple of other commie Democrats, and I guess, I don't know if Lamar is involved, but they're going over this
thing.
It's not bad enough. They're going to come up with a real stinker. So if with this new Secretary of Education, who is maybe worse than Arne Duncan,
he was detested
by not only parents, by teachers in New York,
yes.
And they got rid of him. They got rid of him as commissioner, and so Obama has appointed him and is circumventing our governmental system, not having him go before a Senate committee for confirmation, because Obama came right out. I heard it on BBC. It hasn't been reported. Came right out and said there's too much controversy over education now because of all these great parents out there. Thank you very much, all of you listening, who have been complaining about communist core and everything else. So he had to put, he has to get this guy in there, he says, on a temporary basis until Obama is gone. Thank God that day will come someday. And so we've got this wretched man who is detested, it's interesting, not only by parents but by public school teachers. They got rid of him. They managed to get rid of him in New York State. So what we're going to be getting is basically the Mark Tucker program. Now,
yes.
Folks, do not fall for any call. Now, I've got to get through to, what's his name, who's running for president. Our wonderful, I can't even remember his name. Trump. Okay. He's called for getting rid of the U.S. Department of Ed. Well, I don't believe he understands all the intricacies there. Heritage Foundation has probably told him to do that because that's a diversion.
Right.
I am
interacting with them also, and I'm sending them your information.
Oh, good.
I sent them the last piece, as I said, you got to go back even further and go back to the 30s, and I sent them your piece on Carnegie.
Okay, this is that, because Carnegie, as your listeners may or may not know, in 1934, in the Little Blue Book, which is an American Deception, Conclusions and Recommendations of Social Studies, called for using the schools to change America's capitalist economic system to a planned economy. And Carnegie's been doing that. Every 5 years, put money into everything, including, I just wrote, National Governors Association, everything else, Education Testing Service, Education Commission of the States, Mark Tucker's National Alliance, everything. Carnegie, right up until right now with Mark Tucker. And Mark Tucker, it's not Charlotte saying it, Mark Tucker has said the U.S. Department of Ed is no longer necessary. We're going to move everything down into the state, and very much so into the local level, and all of this information is at the blog ABCS of dumbdown.blogspot.com. That it makes sense. I mean, if you're going to train for the workforce, you do it at the local level.
Yes.
So it all has to be taken from Washington. The department won't be that important anymore, so don't fall for getting rid of the Department of Ed. It's a useless maneuver. It's a diversion, which Heritage, of course, loves, because then they can make a lot of money on it. You can have Karen Ephraim getting all involved. Oh, my goodness. We could have another interview on the Trotskyite neoconservatives who are more dangerous to the American people right now than the left.
You're right. I mean, you are absolutely correct. And, Charlotte, I cannot thank you enough, and I'm going to hold you to what you said, and we're going to come back and have a discussion on this as well, because reality check, folks. This is communism. You can dress it up and put any bow that you want to put on it.
Yep.
But in the end, your children will no longer be able to own anything, and that means themselves, their business, or any property. Because
right.
That's what they are after. They tell you, and please go to Charlotte's website, and please pay attention, and please, whatever you can do to form a group, homeschool your children, get them out of these indoctrination clinics.
Oh, yeah, because that's exactly what they are. And they were, you know, they were referred to that way in the 60s and 70s when parents were really, they really understood back then. But I don't blame the parents. I mean, they've been getting nothing. Look,
they're not getting any education.
Yeah, well, that's right.
We're going to have to say goodbye because the time is not kind anymore.
Don't forget, the left and the right are the same.
Yes, very important. The regime. You don't have to call them left and right. They're one. They are a regime, and they are infiltrating everything. Their goal for school is to replace the family with school, replace God with government, and replace the United States with the United Nations, so your children will be global citizens.
Wonderful. I'm so glad. You know what? Thank God you're there, because I don't know very many other people that I have the respect for that I do for you, Karen, what you've done. And if the people in Florida, whoever's listening, I hope they're responding to what you're telling them, because you're right on.
Charlotte, I think they are, because we went from 2.5% of homeschool up to almost 10% of homeschool. And I'm really proud of the people
fantastic.
In Florida for doing that. And that is
well,
fantastic.
God bless you. And make sure that, you know, that Jeb Bush doesn't, you know, cry
yes.
too much.
We cannot elect him. No how, no way. Thank you, everyone, for joining me this evening. And Charlotte Iserby, please go to her websites, Deliberate Dumbing Down, American Deception, and ABC of Dumb Down. It is so important that you understand where this is coming from, because if you don't, you can't tackle it. You have to know what the problem is before you can correct it.
Absolutely.
And Charlotte has the best wealth of information. Folks, you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, brought to you live on bbsradio.com. Thank you all for joining me this evening. Go to our website, agenda21today.com, karenshone.com. Sign up and get our newsletter. Go on Charlotte's website, get her newsletter. Charlotte prints the most incredible and sends out the most incredible information. Thank you all for listening. God bless you all. God bless you, Charlotte. And I am going to hold you to that to come back again.
So,
thank you so much.
I love doing it with somebody who's intelligent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.